All right, so today we're diving into something that I think a lot of our listeners can relate to. I mean, we are talking to law students here, right? So chances are a lot of them have some side hustle going on.
Yes, probably.
Some passion project they hope maybe one day can turn into,
their full dig.
The main thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the question that we're going to unpack today is, when does the IRS see that passion project as an actual business?
Mm, right.
And to really get into the weeds of that, we're going to be looking at the case story v. Commissioner.
Okay, sounds good.
And the reason we picked this one is because it just does a fantastic job of laying out exactly how the IRS thinks about this question.
Cool.
So the case centers around Lee Story. Now, Lee Story was a successful attorney.
Okay.
She was a partner at a law firm. And at the same time, she spent 6 years producing a documentary film.
Wow.
Called Smile Till It Hurts, The Up With People Story.
It's like a double life.
Exactly.
A practicing lawyer and a documentary filmmaker.
Talk about ambition, right?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, that's got to be rough. So between 2006 and 2008, Story deducted over $260,000 in film production expenses.
Okay.
You know, just all the normal stuff that you would expect to come with making a movie. Now, the IRS took a look at that and said, hold on, is this actually a legitimate business or is this just an expensive hobby?
Okay.
So they challenged those deductions and they argued that she didn't have a real profit motive.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Or, the IRS was basically saying, she might be making this film, but her main goal isn't actually to make money from it.
Exactly. And this is really important because under tax law, you can generally only deduct those business expenses if you're trying to make money.
If it's a real business venture, not just something you enjoy doing in your free time.
Right. And what makes this case so interesting and so valuable for our listeners is that the tax court sided with Story.
Oh, wow. So they actually agreed that she was running a legitimate business.
Yeah.
On all the major points, yeah. So basically they were saying, yeah, she was trying to make a profit with this. This wasn't just a hobby. And so this is huge for anyone out there who's, like I said, got that side hustle going on.
Right.
And they're wondering, okay, if I ever try to turn this into the main thing, is the IRS going to come knocking on my door saying you can't deduct these expenses?
Exactly.
This case gives us a really good framework for figuring that out.
I see. So let's get into how the court actually reached that decision. What were they looking at?
Well, first of all, we need to think about Lee Story's life.
Right.
Right. I mean, this is not someone who was just dabbling in film. I mean, she was a partner at a law firm.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
You know, that's a high-pressure job. Those are long hours. And on top of that, she's dedicating all of this time and energy to making this documentary for 6 years.
6 years. That's a long time.
So it really speaks to just how much she was invested in both of these pursuits.
Yeah, that level of commitment definitely suggests she was taking both her legal career and filmmaking seriously.
Absolutely. And that was something that the court really focused on.
Yeah.
But like we said, the IRS's main argument was that, yeah, she's putting in the time, but she doesn't actually care about making money from this.
It's more of a passion project than a true business in their eyes.
Yeah. And that's where Section 162A of the Internal Revenue Code comes in.
Okay. And what is that exactly?
So this is a super important rule for anyone who's interested in this stuff.
Got it.
Because it lays out which business expenses you can actually deduct on your taxes.
I see.
So 162A says you can deduct ordinary and necessary expenses, but only if you are carrying on a trade or business.
Okay, so the IRS was arguing she wasn't really carrying on a business with this filmmaking.
Right, they were saying it wasn't profit motivated.
Makes sense. So how did the tax court decide whether her filmmaking actually qualified as a business under that rule?
So they used what's called the 9-factor test.
Okay.
And this is basically a set of criteria that they use to figure out if someone's really trying to make a profit.
Okay. That sounds useful.
Yeah. And it gives us a really practical way to think about this whole issue. So the first factor is the manner in which the taxpayer conducts the activity.
Okay. So how they go about doing the thing they're doing.
Exactly. And in Story's case, the court found that she operated her film company, Story Vision, in a really business-like way.
Okay, so what kind of things did she do that made it seem like a real business?
Well, she had a separate credit card for the film.
Okay.
She had a separate bank account.
Smart.
She even hired a bookkeeper to keep track of all the finances.
Wow, so she was really organized and treating it separately from her personal finances.
Exactly. And this showed the court that she wasn't just treating it like personal spending.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it wasn't just about being organized with money.
Okay.
She also had a detailed business plan for the film.
Oh, wow. So she'd really thought it through.
Yeah. And she'd gotten insurance to cover any potential problems during production. So all of this pointed to her taking it seriously as a business venture.
Right. It shows that level of professionalism and planning that you'd expect from a real business.
Exactly. And on top of all of that, she was actively marketing the film.
Okay, so she wasn't just making it for herself. She was trying to get it out there.
Right. She was submitting it to film festivals, trying to find distributors.
So she was really hustling, trying to make something of it.
Yeah. So all of that together really set it apart from something that someone's just doing for fun.
Right. It demonstrates a clear intent to actually make money from it.
Now, the second factor is expertise. And this one's interesting because Story's background was in law.
Right. Not filmmaking.
Not filmmaking. But the court found that she used that legal background to her advantage.
Oh, okay. How so?
So she handled all of the film licensing and the contracts herself.
Ah, so she didn't have to hire someone else to do that for her.
Exactly. Saved her some money and she knew what she was doing.
Yeah, that's smart.
But she also recognized that there were some things that she didn't know how to do.
Right.
So she hired professionals.
Okay.
She had a co-producer, an executive producer, editors, a composer. You know all the people that you need to make a high quality film.
So she was combining her own skills with bringing in outside expertise where needed.
Yeah. And this showed the court that she was serious about making a professional product.
Right. It wasn't just a casual amateur project.
The third factor is the time and effort that she put in.
Right. And you're saying before she had this demanding legal career on top of the filmmaking.
Yeah, and the court was really impressed by just how much time she dedicated to the film. I mean, for 6 years.
Wow.
She spent evenings and weekends doing research, conducting interviews, editing the film.
That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah, and that was on top of her job at the law firm. So they were like, okay, this is not just some casual hobby.
Yeah, that really shows she was going above and beyond.
The fourth factor is whether the assets used in the activity might appreciate in value.
Okay, and how did that apply to the film?
So even though the film hadn't made a profit yet, it was getting critical acclaim. It was winning awards at film festivals.
Ah, I see. So it was gaining recognition and building a reputation.
Yeah. And the court recognized that that kind of recognition could lead to financial gain in the future.
Right. So even if it wasn't making money yet, it had the potential to.
Exactly. The fifth factor looks at the taxpayer's track record in other activities.
Yeah.
So even though Story hadn't made films before.
Right. This was her first one.
She was really successful as a lawyer.
Okay.
And the court saw that as evidence that she was capable of succeeding in demanding professional environments.
Yeah, like she had a proven track record of setting her mind to something and making it work.
Yeah, so they took her filmmaking aspirations more seriously.
Right, it wasn't just a random whim.
The sixth factor is the history of income or losses. And this is where the IRS's argument about lack of profit really comes into play.
Right, because she hadn't made money from the film during the years they were looking at.
Yeah. But the court pointed out that documentary filmmaking is often speculative.
Okay.
It can take a long time to get a distribution deal.
Right.
And actually start making money.
It's not like releasing a blockbuster movie.
No. So they were saying that just because she wasn't profitable yet doesn't mean she wasn't trying to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. It takes time to build an audience and find the right avenues for distribution.
Exactly. The seventh factor looks at the amount of occasional profits, if any. And like we said,
right,
there weren't any during this period. But again, the court understood that it takes time for a documentary to become profitable. So they didn't hold that against her.
So they were really taking the long view of things, not just focusing on a narrow time frame.
Yeah. The eighth factor is the taxpayer's financial status. And this is where it gets kind of tricky.
Okay, how so?
Because Story was already making good money as a lawyer. She could afford to absorb the losses from the film. And you could see how the IRS might say, well, if you can afford to lose money, maybe it's just a hobby for you.
Right.
But the court said no. They said just because she can afford the losses doesn't mean she wasn't trying to make a profit.
So they didn't see her financial stability as evidence against her having a profit motive.
Exactly. They saw it as her being able to invest in her business.
Right. Like a lot of startups have initial losses.
Exactly. And the ninth and final factor is the presence of personal pleasure or recreation. And this is a big one for something like filmmaking.
Yeah, because there's obviously an element of passion and enjoyment in creative work.
Right. But here's the thing. Story's documentary was a critical look at the Up With People movement.
Okay.
It wasn't just like a vanity project.
Right. Not just for personal enjoyment.
Yeah. So the court was like, okay, this is a serious film. This has a business purpose.
It's meant to inform and potentially make an impact, mm-hmm. not just entertain her personally.
Right. So when you look at all nine of these factors together,
yeah.
it's pretty clear why the court sided with Story.
Yeah. It sounds like she really built a strong case for herself.
Now, there's one more piece of this case that I want to mention.
Okay.
Because it's really important for filmmakers. And that's section 181 of the Internal Revenue Code.
And what does that have to do with filmmaking?
So this is a provision that lets filmmakers deduct their production costs immediately.
Oh, wow. So they don't have to spread those deductions out over time.
Right. And this can be a huge help for filmmakers, especially when they're just starting out.
Yeah, because those early costs can be really high.
Exactly. So Story had filed to take advantage of this benefit.
Okay.
And the IRS challenged that, too.
Oh, really? So they were trying to say she wasn't even entitled to that specific deduction.
Yeah. They were saying she didn't file the paperwork correctly.
Wow. So they were really going after her on every angle.
Yeah. But the tax court said no. They said she did everything right.
Okay, so she won on that point, too.
Yeah, she won on that, too. And the fact that she even knew about this provision
right.
and was trying to use it showed the court that she was really treating her filmmaking like a business.
Yeah, it shows she was actively looking for ways to manage the financial side of things.
Exactly. But it wasn't just about knowing the rules. Story was also incredibly organized.
Oh, gosh.
She kept detailed records of everything.
Smart.
She had invoices. She had contracts.
Mm-hmm.
She even had rejection letters from distributors.
Wow. That's attention to detail.
Yeah. And the court was like, this is not someone who's being careless.
Right. It shows she was taking it seriously and treating it like a real business would.
And because of that, they also threw out the penalties that the IRS was trying to impose.
Okay. And why were they trying to penalize her?
Well, the IRS can penalize you if you significantly understate your taxes,
uh-huh.
especially if it seems like you were negligent or trying to cheat the system.
Right.
But the court said no. They said Story was acting in good faith.
Okay.
She was trying to follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a reasonable cause for taking the deductions that she did.
So they didn't believe she was intentionally trying to mislead anyone?
No. And I think one of the most telling parts of the court's decision is this quote.
Okay, what did they say?
They said, quote, petitioner treated her reputation as a filmmaker with the same businesslike attention as her legal career.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, and I think it really sums up the whole case.
It shows they really saw her dedication and professionalism in both areas of her life.
Exactly. So in the end, the IRS lost because they couldn't prove that Story wasn't genuinely trying to make a profit.
Right, even though she hadn't actually made a profit during those years.
Right, and the fact that she was so organized and businesslike
yeah.
really helped her case.
Makes sense. So what's the main takeaway here for our listeners? What should they be thinking about if they're working on their own side hustles?
I think the biggest thing is that you have to be able to demonstrate that you're trying to make a profit.
Right, even if you're not profitable yet?
Even if you're not profitable yet. And the way you do that is by treating your side hustle like a business.
From day one.
From day one. So that means having a business plan, keeping good records,
mm-hmm.
separating your finances.
Got it.
And maybe even getting professional advice if you need it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And I think it's really worth asking yourself, am I treating the things that I'm passionate about
uh-huh.
with the same level of seriousness that I would treat my job?
Right. Am I putting in the same effort and attention to detail?
Exactly. Because yeah. you never know when that passion project could turn into your main thing.
Yeah. And this case shows that the IRS really does look at all those details to determine whether something is a hobby or a business.
Yeah. And for anyone who wants to dig a little deeper, you yeah. can always look up Section 162.
Okay.
And the 9-factor profit motive test.
Good advice. It's always good to be informed.
And this case really is a great example of how the courts think about these issues.
Yeah. And it's definitely relevant for anyone thinking about starting a business or turning a hobby into something more.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this was a really interesting deep dive. Thanks for breaking it all down.
Yeah, this was a fun one.
I learned a lot.
And for all of you listening out there, keep hustling.
Yeah, keep chasing those dreams.
But make sure you're doing it the right way.
And keep good records.
We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.
Yeah.